you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard,
you know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and thank you once again for persevering while I try and figure out what to do with this fucking show on an episode-by-episode basis. Missed out last week because reasons. Had a bit of stuff going on, so I couldn't make it into the friggin' Hall of Beards, but I'm back. And I thought we'd have a bit of an old-school episode this week. We're going to have a look at not so much some booze news out there, but we're going to have a look at some of the goings on within the beard world. To start off the show, I thought one story that's been getting a fair bit of traction this week is a new study that's being commenced, or has commenced, sorry, by a fella of the name of Dr. Alan Whitey, who, I hope I'm saying your name right, buddy. If I'm not, I'm sorry. He's decided to start a study called the Beards Project, or Do Beards Matter? Now, it's going to be a 3-year study, and it's going to be looking into facial hair health and hygiene in Britain circa, you know, the sort of 17th, 18th century, with the goal of seeing how it impacts today's current trend, but especially along the predominantly hipster market of the beard, which is apparently on its way out once again, although I think this time I'd be happy to see it die. So what have we got here? Okay, so he has got a WordPress blog, I suppose you would call it, that sort of outlines his plan. When I first saw this story, especially because a lot of the retail outlets are marketing it as, you know, once again another dude saying it is the end of the beard. I did a bit of research, did my due diligence, getting ready to defend the right of bearded men everywhere. But you know what? I don't think he's actually going to be going around trying to shit on the beard. So some of the questions that he's got, some of the key research questions he reckons are: to what extent are beards a symbol of masculinity, and what key attributes of masculinity do they represent? So some of the questions he's going to be looking at is things such as: to what extent did the barbering trades influence beard styles and the management of facial hair? How far did they shape trends that were then replicated in personal shaving rituals? How far do the barbering trades cater to wider male health requirements before, during, and after the high point of, you know, the barber surgeon, the medical figure? Also, to what extent are beard trends led by the elite and by metropolitan fashion? How far and how quickly do these spread elsewhere? And what impact did new shaving technologies have on beard trends? Now, one thing he is really stressing is he wants to chart the changing nature of facial hair in men's views of their bodies and masculinity over a longer period than hitherto attempted. The aim is to recover the series of cultural, scientific, and intellectual changes that have affected views of facial hair, and also to raise questions about the extent to which beards are a symbol of masculinity and indicate changing conceptualizations of masculinity. Now, this seems to be a lot more in-depth and a lot more thought out, I suppose you could say, than the normal, well, at least normal at the moment, sort of anti-beard propaganda with the peak beard and everything like that. Although personally he has stated that he's quite surprised that the beard trend, so to speak, has lasted as long as it did, because historically there's always been, you know, them upswings in the bearded trend, only to be followed by a period of you know, clean shaven goodness. Now, like I said, normally I would be defending this to the fucking, you know, debating this to the fucking hilt. But you know what? I think he seems to be fucking fairly level headed with everything, even though he's recently just shaved his own beard. Now, the reason why I'm quite happy to let the hipster beard trend die, especially, you know, with news that the man braid apparently is going to be the next big thing, is this fucking picture that has been circulating this week of these three models who were captured backstage at the barber salon La Barbière de Pata by French hair magazine, but blonde. Now, man, fuck me. It's... if ever you're going to have a jump the shark moment or a peak beard moment, I suppose you'd call it, it's this one fucking picture sums up exactly what is fucking wrong with the hipster movement taking on the beard as their, like, fashion fucking thing of the fucking time. Now, if you haven't seen the picture, I'm sure you have. It's these three models, I suppose you'd call them, with, you know, they're pressed and permed and fucking dyed goddamn fucking beards. It's as a bearded man, it makes me fucking cry. To be perfectly honest with you, it really does make me fucking cry. I mean, Instagram's had a shitload of fun with it all. And it's gotten so much traction, like more traction than you would believe it to take. But I mean, that just looks fucking horrible, man. I think it's time for the hipsters to move the fuck on to whatever the fuck else next they reckon is what they're going to do to, you know, be non-conformist or whatever it is that fucking hipsters do. I think the man braid is the perfect fucking summation of what exactly is wrong with the so-called hipster movement. Bunch of wankers. So, in light of this new bit of, you know, slightly negative fucking press towards beers, I thought we'd have a look at that old favourite Huffington Post, old Huff Post, and one of their recent articles, which is one I think we covered, a very similar one we covered at the start of the year, or I think maybe even last year. And it's 8 benefits to having a beard. Now, these aren't nothing new, but I thought it would serve as a timely fucking reminder. A beard can protect your face from the sun's damaging rays. Now, the reason behind this is coming from dermatologist Bobby Bucker, who is the founder of the Greenwich Village Dermatology and is also a section chief at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. And this is what he had to say on the matter. Men with a lot of skin exposure end up with leathery skin and an increase in wrinkles. There is a condition known as dermatoheliosis, which is chronic sun damage. The manifestation of that is spots, saggy skin, and wrinkled skin. Now, it's been proven that beards are able to block up to 90% of the sun's harmful UV rays. Now, this was proven, or at least stated most recently, in a research paper from the University of Southern Queensland, USQ, which is actually just across the road in Brisbane from where in Toowoomba from where I live. Now, moving on to number 2. A beard can keep you warm in winter. Now, to extend that just a little bit further, not only can a beard keep you warm in winter, it actually doesn't fucking keep you hot in summer either. Now, as the temperature drops, your beard is there to keep you warm. Having facial hair of any kind acts as a barrier of protection, especially in winter months. When we're talking about wind and cold weather, chafing of the skin in particular, it acts as thermal protection as well as physical protection against the elements. Now, in summer, as well as being the best sunblock that you can fucking get, it does actually keep you quite cool. And if you are getting rather fucking hot, what you can do, or one of the things you can do, is wet it down. It keeps that cool air, keeps that nice cool water there for just a little bit longer, not to mention also having the added fucking bonus of, you know, a little bit of breeze for that nice wet beard will just keep you so fucking cool. It's so fresh. It's so nice. Now, a beard can ward off throat disease. Apparently. Facial hair can keep airborne bacteria out of your mouth, which assists in protecting your throat. Now, the effectiveness of a beard, of the beard in this, has been documented as far back as 1875. In the book, Pulmonary Tuberculosis, Its Pathology, Nature, Symptoms, Diagnosis, Prognosis, Causes, Hygiene, and Medical Treatment, Dr. Addison Dutcher noted, there cannot be the least doubt that the beard and the hairs that grow on the nostrils were designed by nature to guard the lungs from the invasion of these deleterious particles. Such being the use of the beard, individuals engaged in employments where the air is constantly filled with particles of fine dust should never shave. I have come to this conclusion from a careful observation of the effect of wearing the beard and shaving upon the air passages and lungs. And I could, if space allowed, record many cases of throat and lung diseases that have been permanently cured by wearing a beard. Now, I don't know about that last comment, but I mean, think about it. And I'm not too proud to admit that there have been times in the past where I have indeed used my hair as a makeshift fucking filter. You know, that's what it's designed for. Just like the follicles inside the nasal passages are quite good at filtering out a lot of the pollens and shit. The beard, especially if you let that mow grow, can have the same effect. It's something worth fucking thinking about. Now, number four is a beard can assist those with asthma. Similar to the prevention of throat diseases, beards provide another barrier between your body and toxic exposures. If you have a reactive airway condition like asthma, a beard can provide an additional filter before toxins enter your lungs. Coming in at number five, a beard can reduce the chances of bacterial infection. Once again, it comes down to the beard just basically being an extra layer of protection from infections. While bacteria naturally exists on the skin, shaving can create extra openings that bring the bacteria and lead to infectious and ingrown hairs. Not shaving can reduce acne flare-ups. Now, according to the book The Acne Cure, written by Terry J. DeBrow and Brenda D. Adderley, shaving can bring on acne breakouts. Now, as any teenager will tell you, acne is shit. And yes, for men, it can indeed be brought about or exacerbated by shaving. Actually, I know a couple of people who I went to school with who stopped shaving for that exact fucking reason. Number six is that old favourite, not shaving, clear up your schedule for more important things. Now, we've all seen the shaving statistics out there. I'm just trying to find it now. Exactly how much time they reckon, you know, you will save over the course of a year. But in 1972, oh, here we go. In 1972, Dr. Herbert Mascon, then professor and chairman of the Department of Dermatology at Boston University School of Medicine, told some paper or another that the average man will spend an estimated 3,350 hours of his life shaving. That's 139 full fucking days. 139 days. Almost 5 months. Growing a beard can save you so much time. Now, as a little caveat to that, of course, these days, it's not just a matter of not shaving. There's also, you know, the grooming that tends to take more up. Now, I honestly couldn't tell you how long it took me to shave because I can still count on one hand how many times that fucking happened. But I reckon there's a fairly odds-on bet that the grooming, if you go down that path with the oil and all that sort of shit, would take up just as much, if not more time, but if you're quite happy just to give it a brush in the morning to fucking, you know, make it a little bit tidy, I can't see why that wouldn't still save you a shitload of time. Coming in at number seven, most men feel more attractive with a beard. Now, this apparently comes from the shaver company, Braun, who asked a relatively small sample of 1,000 New York men this past year about their grooming practices. 67% of the men surveyed said they sport facial hair, a beard or a moustache of some description. And over half said they feel more attractive with a beard. 55% said they have received compliments about their facial hair, while 41% said that a beard makes them feel more confident. Now, this is one I think we can all attest to. If nothing else, you cannot honestly say that your beard hasn't attracted some serious comments, opened up some fucking conversations with either gender, to be fair. And, you know, it's also a good little fucking calling mark. You know what I mean? When you see a bearded man, you nod and you move on with your day. And it is the ultimate conversation starter more times than not. And finally, coming in at number eight, a beard can improve your sex life. Now, consider your classic case of the chicken and the egg. In an anonymous 1970 study quoted in the book The Dependent Gene, which was found has apparently found a correlation between beard growth and the potential for sex. The stimulus for increased beard growth is related to the resumption of sexual activity, the author of the experiment found after spending extensive periods in isolation. When the likelihood of sexual encounters increased, so did testosterone secretion, which impacts beard growth. Now, the reason he found this is he used to go onto islands for months at a time, this researcher, for reasons, and he noticed that, you know, in the weeks leading up to him leaving, his beard growth would go through the fucking roof. So, I guess he must started off testing for testosterone or something like that, because, yeah, and they figured out it was the resumption of, you know, the chance to score with the ladies. Now, this was backed up in a 2008 study carried out by psychologists at Northumbria University, which stated women rated men with stubble as tough, mature, aggressive, dominant, and masculine, and also as the best romantic partners, either for a fling or long-term relationships. Further, quoting from the researchers in the Journal of Personality and Individual Differences, the Daily Telegraph over in the UK noted that facial hair or beardness is a powerful sociosexual signal and an obvious biological marker of sexual maturity. So there we go, people. Just thought I'd give a nice little reminder to everybody why the beards are worth keeping, either during or beyond this utterly fucking ridiculous hipster phase that we seem to be going through at the moment. Although I've got to say, the British Army is looking to be fucking on point with their beard, with a physical training instructor starting a parliamentary petition to ask for all soldiers to be allowed to grow beards and not have to parade clean shaven. Now, Ben Houghton Clark is the man behind this, and his submission asks to allow soldiers who serve in the British Army to wear neat and trimmed facial hair. Now, here's where it gets cool, people. If the petition gains 10,000 signatures, the government must issue an official response. Should the number reach 100,000 signatures, then the petition is considered for debate in Parliament. Now, Mr. Houghton Clark, who has competed for the British Army team in triathlon events, argues that the growing of facial hair hugely increases morale and contributes to operational effectiveness through psychological means, stating that the Royal Navy are allowed to grow beards through their tradition. And the British Army used to, in fact, once allow beards. However, that was lost, and now they have to parade clean-shaven. Now, of course, start of the year, we sort of featured or had a bit of a talk about the one British Army rank that is allowed to parade not only with a full beard, but also wielding an axe and a leather apron. I am, of course, talking about the Pioneer Sergeants, who have existed since the 1700s, when every British infantry company had one pioneer who could march in front of the regiment. It was also, you know, their job to kill horses that have been wounded in battle. They were the blacksmith. They were the overall, all-round, general fucking badass of the fucking unit. But Mr. Houghton Clark's petition suggests that beards have a practical use, citing that the British Army has been seen sporting a full range of stubble, mustaches, and beards on ops to blend in. Which is 100% true when you think about the fact that most ops these days, for any armed forces, is carried over in the Middle East, where, you know, for religious reasons, beards are just a fact of life. So it does make it kind of stupid to have to come home, shave, or shave for parade, when you've just got to grow it the fuck back. Now, the deadline for the petition runs until the 23rd of March 2016, and we might keep a little bit of look on this fucking story to see just how successful he goes. So, look, to be honest, that's about all I've really got this week. I don't have a whole lot mainly because, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing with the podcast and how to make it sort of work with one person. So, you know, I'm trying to keep the shows between 20 and 30 minutes. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just playing around with some stuff. I thought we'd do a bit of a old school show, have a look at the state of the union of the beard world, at least so it may appear. To that note, any of our Australian listeners who are interested or on the Instagram, hit me up on, you can find me at The Drunkle Dan on all the social medias. Of course, that's where you find me. Hit me up, pop in, say hello, drop a line. I'm currently working with The Bearded Villains, which is like a social media club or whatever you want to call it. And we're currently in the middle of a massive expansion and scouting scheme. So if you've got a beard, you're on Instagram, just drop us a line and I will help you and tell you, point you in the right direction to go along and get your get you involved in that. It's a really great group of guys, especially over here in the Oz chapter, the Queensland chapter. You know, all about community spirit and, you know, honour and loyalty and integrity and all that sort of great stuff that is sadly lacking in today's world, which is quite sad. Like I said, of course, you can find me on all the social medias at The Drunkle Dan. You can find us also on The Drunken Beersman on all the social medias. We've got a website, www.thedrunkenbeersman.com. At the moment, the website is in rather much a state of disrepair. I'm still trying to, like I said, I've recently become a one-man operation, so it's we're going through a lot of shit at the moment trying to make it work. Hell, if you want to contribute an article to the website or on the podcast, drop us an email. You can find it. You can drop us an email, mailbag@thedrunkenbeardsman.com. If you want to come on to the podcast, even fuck, I don't care. Come and jump on. We'll have a look and we'll see what's going on because why the fuck not? Oh, all about loving fucking people at the moment. So to walk us out tonight. I thought I'd do something a little bit different instead of playing it our normal show theme, which was, of course, provided with much love and care and permission, more importantly, by the Beards, who are in the middle of their 10 long years, one long beard show. And we're going to close out with a little known group called the Doug Anthony All-Stars. Now, the Doug Anthony All-Stars is a group that I grew up with. They're an Australian comedy group. Whose members included Richard Feidler, Paul McDermott, and Tim Ferguson. Now, you won't know any of these fucking people. They broke up long before, early to mid-90s, so, you know, years ago. But you know what? I've been really sort of digging it at the moment. So to close this out tonight, it's going to be the Doug Anthony All-Stars covering the All Triangle. Until next week, on the same drunk channel, at the same bearded time, I'm Drunkle Dan. You stay bearded, you stay beautiful. Good night.
Word has come from Dublin City. She's lost her sweet angry voice. Born with a spirit his flesh could not contain. Brendan Behan is dead. No stranger to life, he lived right enough. No stranger to the glass in his hand. No stranger to the cause he fought for all his life. Brendan Behan is dead. A hungry feeling came over me stealing while the mice were feeding in my prison cell. And the old triangle went jingle-jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal on a fine spring evening as I lay dreaming. waiting for his gas south and the old triangle went jingle jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal, and the wind was sighing as the day was dying, and the lad still crying in his prison cell, and the old triangle went jingle bloody jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. In the women's prison there are 17 women, and I wish it was with them that I did dwell. Sweet angry
triangle.
No longer his poems of fine design will ring out in Gaelic or sound through the main. Brendan Behan is dead.